Karen.
And I'm Greg.
Hello, Hot Springs. You're listening to Library Beat, a weekly podcast from the Razorback Campersale Studio, where we talk about all things library.
This week on Library Beat, Karen, the library's reigning royal expert, weighs in on the recent coronation. Plus, we discuss our top royal picks if you want to keep up with the soap opera that is The Firm. Stay tuned.
Hi, Karen. We're planning to talk about the royal family today. Isn't that the plan?
Yes, and it's one of my most fascinating subjects. I loved Queen Elizabeth.
Yes. And you got up early Saturday morning to do something special, didn't you?
I got up at 4:30 and watched the coronation. And I wordled you about 5, but you didn't respond because
no,
you were still sleeping.
I slept through the coronation.
I watched it for about 3 hours, and then I fell back asleep, and it kind of ruined my day because then I got up late, and then it's like everything's already happened.
Yeah, they should have thought of you when they planned this.
I was hoping they would.
So what's your coronation review? I have not watched it. I probably will eventually because I think I'm interested in the royals, but maybe just a couple of pegs down from where you're interested. So I would like to watch it, but maybe you could just give us your review.
Very regal, very pageantry.
Mm-hmm.
You wore your fancy dresses
mm-hmm.
and your fancy hats.
Lots of hats.
Lots of people there.
Yeah.
Although Queen Elizabeth, at her coronation in 1953, I think had 8,000 mm-hmm. invitees, and he only invited 2,000.
So that's like a quarter. But part of his mission as being king is kind of to scale things down a
exactly.
little bit.
Exactly. Yeah, I think people are getting mad over there about how much the royal family makes and their money-wise, you know, and they can't get it together just like any dysfunctional family.
Well, I think that's the great thing about being an American fascinated by it is that we can watch all this, but we don't have to pay for any of it.
Exactly. And this was a state ceremony, if I was reading right, so the state had to pay for it. It wasn't
right.
like, you know, he threw a pool party and he had to pay for it.
Right.
The state had to pay for it.
Yeah. Well, it's a big deal. There hadn't been one since
1953.
Right, because Elizabeth lived forever.
70 years. Well, I mean, this would have been, I guess, 70th year. I believe the first coronation, I can't read pounds, so I don't know. I think it'd be worth like $46 million on how much they spent in 1953 on it because
right.
it was, you know, pageantry. And then
that was the first coronation that was televised.
Yes.
Right. So that was kind of a big deal back then.
Yes. And I think they needed it because it was like only 8 years after the war.
Right.
And it was kind of a celebration.
And that way people, like, you can watch it from
yes.
home.
Yes. It was in black and white. And Charles was at that one as well.
Yeah.
So he's attended two.
Oh, wow.
And some people never see two coronations in a lifetime, but he's been at both of them.
Right.
I loved Camilla, bless her heart. She just doesn't look queenly to me, but she got through it.
Yeah.
King Charles.
What about her do you think is not queenly?
I think just the whole backstory,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
But she looked very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's like, and it was a long ceremony. King Charles looked very good in his robes, and then they took off the robes, and they hid him behind these panels.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Will and Kate.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I love
Will
and Kate.
With those little babies.
I know.
Well, they're not even babies anymore.
Yes, and I want to commend Kate for bringing a five-year-old to something like that and not, like, jerking his arm and going, just sit down,
right.
just behave.
Yeah.
But they are taught early on how to act mm-hmm. in public. I mean, they're taught from babies that are like, this is how you act.
Yeah.
So you didn't see him running up and down all the aisles.
Right.
He was retired early, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
They took him out after a few hours. But he's the one I want to see king. Louis is just a hoot and a holler.
Yeah.
He's just, that's what everybody's looking for is Louis. And most of the clips feature Louis in some way.
Right.
Probably Louis, probably not Louis. Yeah. Although Kate calls him Louis Bug, which is
aww.
Cute. The crown. Big old heavy crown.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard that they had to adjust Camilla's crown. And when they put it on her, it kind of sunk down. Because she got this big old head, and they
yeah.
said they had
well,
to adjust
it. Well, did it mess up her hair?
We can't see it after that because they didn't
yeah.
take it back off. And King Charles, when Archbishop, I think it was Archbishop, placed it on his head, he kind of had to like jiggle it a little to fit.
In case our listeners are wondering what in the world this has to do with the library, we are going to also talk about our top picks about the royal family that you can get at the library.
Yes, and we recently had a book club, two book clubs ago.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we read a book on the Queen.
We sure did.
And this is history. I mean, well, I may see another one. You know, King Charles, he's 75, which is young, spring chicken.
Right.
But I don't know.
Yeah, only time will tell. Well, why do you think that people are so fascinated by the royal family?
It's just all the pageantry. I mean, he was in this carriage, which was updated with air conditioning and suspension.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just fascinating. It's like something you would see on a movie, but it's actually happening. And all the horses and the Queen's guards. Don't you know those people were hot in those uniforms?
Oh, yeah.
They actually had a food for the coronation. It was a quiche. They came out with a quiche. So it's like everything. And then they had a party afterwards.
Well, I think that part of the reason that people are fascinated is because of the drama.
Well, there is a lot of drama with this coronation.
Yes.
Probably not as much as in 1953.
Right.
But with this one, Harry came in. He sat with
Eugenie
and Beatrice.
Right, who were his first cousins. They're Andrew's and Fergie's daughters.
And I did not, Andrew was there, but I did not see him. They never panned him.
They're trying to hide him.
Does he still have the title? He didn't have Prince Andrew, is it?
I think they can't take that away from him, but they've tried to take away just about everything else. Yeah.
Harry sat with his cousins, Princess Anne, who was very regal in herself.
Mm-hmm.
And just, she was dressed.
And she had a big red feather in her hat
that blocked Harry. Which was unfortunate, but, you know, and of course it got a lot of media play.
Right.
But Harry was there minus his wife, but it was his child's birthday, so there's a lot of drama there. And he left England.
Right. Yeah, I heard he stayed for like half an hour, and he's like,
I've got to go.
I'm out of here.
I got stuff to do. And it was his child's birthday.
Right.
So there is a lot of drama. I never saw him and William talk.
Mm-hmm.
Or anything, or
yeah,
so kind of
seems like they're still on the outs.
On the outs,
yeah.
And Westminster Abbey was, I mean, I would love to visit and just go in there. That is what the most beautiful church. I think I was reading was the most prominent church, most beautiful church. It has been the place where the coronations have taken place for the last 900 years.
Dang!
So it's had some people in there, and there were so many. I don't see how they fit. But there's risers or something.
Because mm-hmm.
when you look at it, it doesn't look that big, but
right.
it's very big inside.
And there's always like a choir too.
I kept panning to the young men who, pardon me, who were singing. All the speakers have a place to sit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you never see anybody get up and go to the bathroom.
No.
It's like,
well, that's one thing I learned about the royals in some of these books that I've read. They are trained to not have to use the bathroom.
And I don't know how they do that.
I don't either.
I guess they don't drink Mountain Dew like the Southerners do. But, yes, I don't see how the children sit there so long without wanting a snack or go to the bathroom.
Right.
But they sit there quietly, and Charlotte is just
And they didn't even have, like, their Game Boys or anything,
No,
did they?
They didn't have their little handheld games or Switches or whatever.
Yeah.
And Charlotte is just – Charlotte and Kate coordinated. I guess the whole family coordinated, but they look so beautiful.
Now, is Charlotte the one that was a bridesmaid or a
Megan's
and the dress or was
something,
wrong and
yeah,
somebody made somebody cry?
And we don't know who it was. Cause
well, I have a pretty good idea.
Some say Kate cried, Charlotte cried, or Megan cried, or they all cried.
I bet they all cried, yeah.
Prince George, who carried his grandfather's, like, I guess the robe part of it, he was like on one corner of it.
Yeah.
He did not want to wear the little breeches.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't have to do that this time.
He didn't have to wear breeches.
Well, no, he didn't want to be made fun of at school.
Right.
And so they got to wear regular pants, but they still had to wear the buckle shoes.
Right.
So that was cool.
Yeah. So things are modernizing a little bit, even though they still have a king.
Still have a king.
Yeah.
This had been in place for a long time because, you know, as much as I love Queen Elizabeth, she wasn't going to live forever.
Right.
So I think it was the code name for this was code name Orb or something, Golden Orb.
Yeah.
So they could know what to do and places. And I wonder how long it took them to like rehearse, like, okay, you're going to sit here, you're going to do that. And poor Katy Perry got lost in there.
Oh, poor Katy.
I know. I guess they had names on the...
Well, I was just reading another book about the Queen Elizabeth's coronation. Well, that it wasn't about the coronation, but it did mention it. They had 12 dress rehearsals for that.
Oh, my word.
Yeah. So I'm sure they had quite a few rehearsals for Golden Orb. But that's supposed to be one of the things that the palace is really good at. They're not necessarily great at thinking on their feet and coming up with things real fast. But if you want something planned, like a major event...
They're the best.
They are the ones you want to call. Yeah.
Yes. Well, let's see. Let's talk about the chair. Let's see. Coronation chair, a high-backed wooden seat carved by master carpenter Walter of Durham in the final years of the 14th century. That's an old chair.
I know. And the termites haven't gotten it?
Yeah. And like you hadn't set it out on the porch and it got wet? English monarchs have sat during their investiture since at least as far back as 1399. So he didn't have to stand up as long as some of those other people.
Right.
Queen Elizabeth's reign was 70 years, the longest of any English monarch. King Charles is the oldest one to be crowned king because he's 75. The other one was 64.
And that would have been Victoria's son, right?
Well, King William.
Oh, okay. A different one.
Some King William. I can't read Roman numerals.
Okay.
He was 64 in 1830, and that's when he took. So that was that Victoria's husband?
No, her husband was Albert.
So that must have been Albert's dad.
Well, no, Albert was not royal. He was an outsider.
Well, Victoria's dad.
Could have been Victoria's dad or uncle.
Or uncle, possibly. Uncle dad.
In the royal family, that is certainly very possible. But then she reigned for almost as long as
she was
Elizabeth. And her son waited, too, and he became King Edward the VII, I believe. And then the Edwardian age, like, you know, the 19-aughts and up to whatever, then he died, so he only got to reign for a few years, but it sounded like he had a really good time.
Yeah, he had a blast, evidently.
So were you satisfied with the coronation? Would you give them any notes?
I was satisfied. I love the pageantry. Love it. I love the carriages. Prince William looked marvelous in his robe.
Mm-hmm.
Along with Kate, they look like a little Disney couple.
Yeah, well, they kind of are.
Yeah, and there was some controversy whether King Charles was early or William was late, because William and Kate should have walked in front of the king.
Oh.
Instead, they walked behind.
Oh.
So there was a little bit of controversy there. They should have been in front of the king.
Do you think there are going to be some memos sent?
There will probably be memos, and you could tell in the carriage that King Charles was mumbling something, and he did not look happy.
Uh-oh.
So they were saying it when I was watching, I think, BBC America, those commentators.
Mm-hmm. Did you stick around to see the balcony shot?
No.
Well, I mean, that's the big deal. They go back to Buckingham Palace, and they wave everybody from the balcony. It's kind of controversial who gets to go on the balcony, because not everybody does anymore. I think there are some people who feel kind of left out of the balcony.
But Andrew wasn't up there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering how the seating was going, because, like, I guess William and his family was on the first row because he's next in line, and then Edward and Harry was like four or five back.
Well, I think that they said that those first seats were reserved for working royals, and Harry decided that he didn't want to do that, or he didn't want to do it on the terms that the queen would agree to.
Right.
He wanted kind of halfway.
You can't do that, with the queen. You're in or you're out.
So he sat back there with his cousins.
Yeah, and that's fine. I mean, he was like four or five rows back.
Yeah.
But Edward and then Princess
Sophie.
Anne. Mm-hmm. Oh, Sophie is so cool. Princess Anne was there and her husband.
Mm-hmm.
And, I never saw Andrew, so I don't know where he was. But
They probably had him behind a pillar.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was in all the dignitaries.
Mm-hmm.
Came in, and that was Biden. Jill Biden was there, and at this coronation, there was a lot of different religions.
Mm-hmm. Different ones.
Different ones.
Was there anyone there from your church?
No.
Well, and I think that's something that Charles has tried to do, too. Even though he's the head of the Church of England, sort of by default, he is open to other faiths and traditions and things like that.
And I think he should be, But I think because now more people are going, I don't know if we need this monarchy, and mm-hmm. you know, he's trying to, you know, please everyone.
Well, in England, since, you know, Elizabeth first came into the office or the throne or what have you, has become extremely multicultural
yes.
over the last 70 years. So it's not just the Church of England that people are interested in anymore.
Hey, podcast listeners, we've got a special deal just for you, $4.99 for 2 months, and it includes all of our digital access. I'm talking about all of our online content, our daily news clips, our puzzle library, and so much more. This is valid for new subscriptions only, so if you've been waiting to try it out, now's the time. Visit the link, hotsr.com/podcast23 to get this great deal.
Well, should we talk about our top book and movie picks regarding the royal family?
Yes. I liked, you know, I don't know the titles. I didn't look up the titles. But we read one in a book club, you and I and some mm-hmm. others, about Princess Margaret.
Yes, that was on
She's
my list,
too. Too.
She was a mess, but a royal
mess.
Hot mess,
yes.
That book is called 99 Glimpses of Princess Margaret. It's by a gentleman named Craig Brown, who is an English journalist. And he took sort of an interesting, fun approach rather than just a standard biography. He would just make up some things, but it was clear that he was making it up. For example, Picasso had a big crush on Princess Margaret, who was kind of a, I don't know if sex symbol is the right word, but she was very attractive.
Right.
And she played up that image to some extent. So Picasso had a crush on her, so this author imagines what it would have been like if she had married Picasso. And he also imagines some other things, but a lot of it is more straightforward about how she was very into being royal, and if you didn't give her the proper respect, the curtsies and the bows or what have you, like she would kind of... be like, come here, stay away, you know, mm-hmm. like she would get friendly enough with you, but then if you, there was a line that you couldn't cross and she would turn into the royal princess.
Yes, obviously jealous of her sister's notoriety, and of course her sister's the queen,
mm-hmm.
so she was very jealous of the queen. She was a spare and she realized it.
Right. Well, and the thing that comes out in either that book or another one is that temperamentally or just personality-wise, Margaret might have been better suited to that job, at least the public-facing side of it, because the
yes.
queen is extremely reserved and kind of shy and doesn't really... She's like me. She didn't like to meet people.
True.
Yeah. Whereas Margaret was more extroverted.
But Queen Elizabeth was all about duty.
Oh, yeah.
Duty.
Mm-hmm.
And I think King Charles is following in Mom's footsteps on that.
Yeah,
and I think King William
so much with Diana.
He didn't follow. Well, no.
Yeah.
But we won't go into that. And a lot of people have superimposed the crown on Diana. And,
mm-hmm.
That's still a sore spot with some.
But yes, that is an excellent book, and it's available on Hoopla if you want to. The audiobook is really good.
I listened to the audiobook.
Yes.
And I like the book we just recently read about the Queen.
Mm-hmm. There was one, I think it was called The Queen, Her Life. There have been lots of books about the Queen. This one was by Sally Bedell Smith, who I guess is sort of a royal biographer. She's written, I think, one on Charles, too.
She did write one on Charles.
And she seems, it didn't have enough dirt for me. She kind of seems like she's a royal fan, and maybe that's kind of how she gets her access, is by them knowing she's not going to write anything very negative about them. And I would prefer a little more of dirt.
Mm, you must like the Diana books then.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Yeah. One of my picks would be, that, you know, there are hundreds of books about Princess Diana, but the one that I liked the best was by Tina Brown. It's called The Diana Chronicles. She wrote it around the 10-year anniversary of her death, and she tries to put to rest a lot of the conspiracy theories and whatnot. But Tina Brown is to me the most interesting royal chronicler, because she worked for Tatler magazine in the UK. Then she came over here, and it was, I think, kind of a coup at the time that she became the editor of Vanity Fair. And, you know, she's kind of a high muckety muck in the journalistic world, but she's very funny and very well sourced, and she knows her royal family saga very, very well. So the if I had to read one book about Princess Diana, it would probably be the, did I say Diana Chronicles? And there's also the one that came out while she was alive that she participated in the
Morton?
Was that Andrew Morton.
Yeah, that was a, people did not like, the royal family did not like her giving him so much access and kind of telling tales. And
Well, I mean, she definitely had an axe to grind, so I don't know if I would believe every word of that book. But it would probably be an interesting read, nevertheless. So you've picked one. I've picked one. What's your next one?
I don't know. I like the Palace Papers.
Oh, that was going to be my next one.
Okay, well.
That's Tina Brown, too. So.
Yeah, she. That one's real good. It has a lot of new dirt.
Mm-hmm. It is. Well, it picks up where the Diana Chronicles left off. So it kind of covers the last 25 years, including, you know, the introduction of Kate to the family and just kind of how Harry and William dealt with their mother's death.
Yes.
The part on Kate I thought was very interesting because she kind of played the long game. She met William when they were at college, and at first he wasn't all that interested, and then she modeled in some sort of like lingerie thing or something, and he got interested in a hurry then.
Yes.
And so they went out for a few years, and then he kind of lost interest. Well, meanwhile, she didn't just sit around crying in her beer. She, all of a sudden, she was like on the front page of every newspaper having a great time. And William, I think, kind of realized what he was
missing,
yeah.
I watched something the other night on the coronation, of course. And they said how many boyfriends that she had before him. I think it was only like 3 or 4, but, you know, pretty well known.
Mm-hmm.
So she did date. I mean, she just, you know, her and William did not get together right off the bat. It took a few years for them to kind of get in the same place, same mindset.
Well, and I understand that part of William's hesitation wasn't so much that, you know, he wasn't in love with Kate or he didn't think she was great or whatever. He just wasn't sure if she was ready to join this thing for the rest of her life. And it wouldn't be for
the firm.
For everyone. The firm, yeah.
No, obviously it's not for everyone. I mean, Meghan you know, took off.
Right.
It and Diana, you know, it basically put her where she was when she died. I'm not going to say it killed her, but kind of threw her out there.
Yeah.
There's a lot to pictures all the time, you know, just everybody's hounding you and everything you do, every move you make and every mistake you make is there forever because somebody's got it on film.
Well, and the thing with a lot of people, they're not going to take the attitude of never complain, never explain, which is kind of the royal firm attitude. Is they're not going to comment on these little squabbles or what have you. They think that it really preserves their mystique if they're not having a lot of contact with the press and they're not going to talk about every little intimate detail of their lives. But Diana kind of flipped that script.
Yes, and invited the reporter in and the cameras and was talking about Camilla. And I was like, oh, we don't do that.
Yeah.
I saw a special the other night on King Charles and it had one of his girlfriends from the early 70s on there. And she was talking about how they kind of pushed her out because she started talking and telling too much. So you don't, once you're in there, you got to keep your mouth shut.
Yeah, it's like the mafia.
The firm.
Yeah, I think the queen mother referred to it as remaining utterly oyster, like we're just not going to talk.
Yes.
So.
And that seemed to do them good for a while till the internet came along.
Yeah,
and
it did. So we've got a Princess Margaret book, a Queen book, the two Tina Brown books, which would be my top picks just because she's actually a pretty good writer. What do you think about the TV series The Crown?
You know, I watched it, binged watched it. Then the new season came out right around the time she died. And I stopped watching it because I know how it ends.
Yeah.
You know, I just, and they do change people on there. And, you know, I get used to this person and they change. So I stopped watching it. I just didn't, I got into it in the early.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah. I like it, and that's one of the few Netflix series that we have here at the library. For some reason, they put that one out on DVD so that we can get it, but it's been very popular here.
Oh, yeah, it's very popular.
Yeah, I like it. Like, you have to bear in mind that it is just kind of a soap opera that is maybe informed by actual historical events, but you maybe have to take it with a grain of salt.
Yes.
But that doesn't make it less enjoyable for me.
Yeah, it's okay. It's good. It's good. Right.
What about, did you like the movie The Queen?
Yes, I did.
With Helen Mirren?
I did.
Yeah.
And you know who I saw at the coronation?
Who?
Tony Blair.
Tony Blair was there.
I want to read his book. Mm-hmm. I hope we have it or on maybe a downloadable audiobook or mm-hmm. something. But I know he came out with the book a few years ago, and I knew him, yeah. You know, around. He was
sure.
around.
Yeah.
But I didn't really, you know. And I think John Major is, and there were like all the prime ministers kind of walked in together, so to
right.
speak. And I think it was John Major ahead of him.
Well, they've had like three or four in the last year.
Yeah,
so.
And then and they mentioned her.
Yeah.
The lady that was the prime minister for about an hour,
mm-hmm.
and they mentioned her name, like, I forgot her name, it was like Mary Smith, who was prime minister for a day.
Right.
And Boris was yeah. there. He needs to comb his hair. But I knew Tony Blair, and I went, I think he would be interesting.
That would be interesting.
Speaking of the movie The Queen, because mm-hmm. he played a big part in when Diana died, like, right. no, you've got to do this. Mm-hmm. You know.
And the Queen didn't like being told
what she had to do. Not like it. But
from what I understand from these books that I've read, she eventually realized that was the right thing to do.
Yeah, it was the right thing, and people were going to turn on her because yeah. Diana was so outgoing, and the Queen mm-hmm. is very reserved.
Well, and it was kind of maybe misinterpreted. Her reserve didn't mean that she didn't care, even though I think she had mixed feelings about Diana, obviously. But her initial instinct was just to be private, and it was a...
Yes, and take care of the boys.
It was a family thing, not
yes.
a public
yes.
affair.
Take care of the boys, I think, is what... And Prince Philip was, you know, we've got to protect these young boys. One was 15, one was 11, 12, something. Mm-hmm. I want to read the Tony Blair, or listen to that. I listen to a lot of audiobooks, so mm-hmm. Hoopla is great for that, and Libby is great for that. But I do want to listen to the Tony Blair.
We'll have to look to see if we can get that. One of the things that came out in the Palace Papers, I think, was that after the whole Diana affair, the palace kind of turned a corner and said, this can never happen again. So they're very careful about, I guess they want the royals to be popular, but they don't want anyone who sort of outshines the queen
exactly.
or king now, king. Which is going to be kind of difficult because he's not exactly a lot of fun.
He is not a lot of, I don't know, he could be a blast.
Yeah, kind of a wet shirt.
Yeah, and people still don't accept Camilla.
Right.
So it's a mixed bag right there.
Yeah.
But he is so good. I've seen pictures of him with his grandchildren, and that's the sweetest thing in the world. He, you know, when Louis went and got on his lap at some concert, it was just adorable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Louis's having a fit over there, and William kind of goes, go down to Grandpa, and he did, and, you know, got in Charles's lap, and that kind of made him seem a little bit real, so
mm-hmm.
to speak.
Yeah. I think a lot of people have not ever forgiven him for the whole Diana affair, which, that was a long time ago. And sure, it was rotten, but, you know.
And Camilla, and yeah, it was, you know, I don't know. I wasn't there.
No, I feel like I was, though, because I've read enough books and things. Yeah.
And enough TV shows about,
right.
and movies and documentaries about the Queen. There's a good one, I think it's Netflix or it could be Amazon or something, on Queen Elizabeth and Prince Philip.
I thought you were going to just say Prince. I thought, well, that would be interesting.
That would be cool,
yeah.
Prince Philip. That's really interesting that they were not good parents to the first two.
Mm-hmm.
They got a little bit better with, the kind of Andrew and Edward.
Well, I'm listening to the audiobook right now of one that came out a few years ago by Anne Glen Connor, and she was a lady-in-waiting to Princess mm-hmm. Margaret. And she came from a very aristocratic family, and she talks about her own children, and basically they see them for about 30 minutes a day,
yes,
while the nanny takes care of them the rest of the time, and then they get packed off to boarding school,
yes,
as soon as they can possibly get there. And that's just how they do it.
That's the way it was done. And yeah, Prince Charles got sent off when he was very young, and I think, and he's talked about it before, that he just did not like it. He never lived up to his father. I don't think his father was very brusque.
Right.
Prince Philip, who Princess Anne got along with him.
Well, he's a real man's man, and yeah, Charles is a little more sensitive.
Yes.
Yes. Well, I think we've pretty much covered the royal family. Is there any last minute, where do you see the monarchy going in the next 10 years if Charles stays alive?
Man, I think Charles is going to hang on as long as he can. Yeah. He's waited, 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's going to be more for the people.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll be more outgoing. Nothing against Queen Elizabeth, but she was very reserved.
Oh, yeah.
Prince William and Kate were out doing something Monday. Mm-hmm. I forgot what they call it over there, where they're out helping and clean up and
right,
build. So a lot more of that, instead of just like hitting a champagne bottle against a ship, a lot more hands-on. And they're more hands-on parents, too.
Right.
They'll hug their children and pick up their children. I think it's going to be more for the people.
Right. Okay. Well, Karen, thank you for sharing your monarchy madness with me.
I hope I get invited to the next one.
Yes. Well, if they listen to the podcast.
I'm sure they will. I'm sure they will. I'm sure they'll right, turn in and go, hey, we got to get her.
Well, thanks for listening to Library Beat.
Thanks for listening to Library Beat from the Razorback Camper Sales Studio. Join us each Friday for a new topic.